specifically decided this week.
Yes, we talked about it.
We talked about it. We specifically decided this week to wait a little later to record so we can actually start talking about the rankings that really matter.
Right.
College football playoff committee rankings. This is week two of the rankings, so we're recording Tuesday night after the rankings have already been posted. And there's some teams that are, I guess, surprising that are up as high as they are, and some teams that make total sense. And I guess before we get into this week's games, I just wanted to have a quick conversation with you just to see what your feelings are about the teams that are up there and how do you think it may play out going forward.
Right.
You had texted me during the games last Saturday, especially when it looked like Alabama was going to beat LSU, and you said that Alabama and LSU were probably going to swap spots.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were halfway right on that one because Alabama is now at the number two spot, jumping Ohio State, who played a game and won a game, but they didn't play or win a game in the SEC, so it doesn't count for as much.
It's all about game control, right?
It's absolutely all about game control, and because apparently that's a thing. So Alabama is now number two. So the top four, and really I guess more importantly, the top six or seven. Clemson's number one. They maintain that top spot. Then Alabama, then Ohio State, who also did not move. Number four is Notre Dame, which is I guess a little bit surprising that they're up there, given that they had the one loss. But I guess since the one loss is to Clemson, who you know is basically an SEC team, you know, when you think about it, if you squint,
sure,
they're an SEC team. And then number five, this one was the one that kind of surprised me. Iowa is all the way up at five, and then you have Baylor, Stanford, Oklahoma State, who is at eight. I kind of thought that they'd be higher than that. I thought they may even be higher than Baylor, since they had, I guess, arguably a better win on their schedule than Baylor has. And then you have LSU, and who dropped a lot more than I thought they were going to. They dropped all the way to nine. And then you have Utah at 10.
And so, one loss, North Carolina, is below Navy, Memphis, and Temple, all from the American Conference. So they are being respected right now.
Yeah, yeah. And all three of those teams have a loss. But I guess with North Carolina, I mean, they did lose to a really bad South Carolina team, so that has to have some sort of penalty. Mm. So, but they are ranked, and I mean, what's your initial thought to these? Do they surprise you? Are you okay with them? Does it matter?
I mean, you know, they have to keep an SEC team in there because the SEC team is important, and it doesn't matter if they lose. But, you know, Baylor, Oklahoma State, I don't understand why they are now lower than Iowa. That one, I mean, I agree Iowa hadn't lost, but I feel like it's very subjective as to when we get to those numbers. I don't understand that. And
yeah, given that Iowa, I mean, I think it's great that Iowa is up that high.
Right.
But, I mean, okay, so they, I guess their best win is Northwestern at this point, maybe? I mean, that's a good win, but other than that, I mean,
they beat Pitt. They
beat Pitt and they beat Wisconsin,
yeah.
I guess, were the other ones. But yeah, I think generally, though, I would say that their schedule is probably tougher than Baylor's or Oklahoma State, even though Oklahoma State beat TCU. I mean, who's Baylor beaten? Nobody.
They've beaten nine teams, Will. You're going to call all nine
teams? They
beat
SMU, Lamar, Rice, Texas Tech, Kansas, West Virginia, Iowa State, and Kansas State. That's not exactly murderer's row. This is where the Big 12 kind of put themselves in a corner a little bit with in regards to how they schedule, because all of the big games in the Big 12 are backloaded. So what Baylor has left is Oklahoma, who's 12, Oklahoma State, which is 8, and TCU, which is 15. I mean, okay, yeah, they're in the top, you know, top 10 right now, but I'd be very surprised if Baylor gets through that, especially without Seth Russell.
But the reason they did it is that you put all of these highly ranked teams, so you know, hey, we're going to play a bunch of nobodies, and we'll, just by virtue of being undefeated, we'll be ranked in the top 6 or 7, whatever, and then when these other teams in their last 5 games are going to have at least one cupcake, we're going to have all ranked teams, and so each week it looks like we're playing a really hard team, and we're already ranked 6th. How are you going to keep us lower when we just beat Oklahoma and this other team only beat fill in the blank?
Yeah, I agree with you, but you got to beat those teams.
You do.
Too.
You do have to beat the teams. Here's an interesting point, Will. I heard on the radio the other day. I was listening to, and I didn't even think about this, but Navy can put a cork in the entire thing. Here's how. Here's how. Hold on.
Navy's interesting.
If Navy wins out and they're in some way in contention for a top 6 bowl, one of the top 6 New Year's 6 bowls, okay? Army-Navy plays a week after everybody else. So they won't be able to award any of those bowls until after Navy plays. They'll have to hold the whole thing off for a week and wait for Navy to play and see if they beat Army before they can slot those teams into those bowls.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Because typically they would have that selection show the Sunday after all the championships.
And that, you know, they've already, you know, slotted the time slot. They've got their hosts planned. But if Navy wins out, what do you do?
Yeah, because they have SMU, Tulsa, Houston, and Army. They could, man, the way they played against Memphis, Navy is really good.
Yeah.
I think you're right. They could absolutely get into that conversation. And you know, their only loss being to Notre Dame, you know, the same token that Notre Dame's only loss is to Clemson, and they're in the top 4, you know, you could make a small argument for a reason for Navy to be really high for the same reason, their only loss being to Notre Dame. And they were competitive for a good portion of that game. They didn't end up losing 41-24, but they were competitive for the majority of it. I'm not saying Navy's going to get into the playoff, but you're right. They could absolutely get into one of those Big Six bowl games, like, you know, the Orange Bowl or, you know, whatever bowls are not hosting the playoffs this year. I can't remember which ones aren't hosting this year, but I think still the Peach Bowl isn't hosting one, and I guess the Sugar and the Rose Bowl aren't hosting since they did it last year. But Navy could absolutely sneak into one of those.
And wouldn't that be interesting?
That would be fun.
Yeah. The team that plays them won't be excited about it, but it would be a lot.
No, because all the chop blocking.
Oh,
and, you
my
know,
gosh. The chop block.
It's awful. It's awful.
So this is those players' livelihood. They're going to the NFL. They don't want to get chop blocked.
Yeah, you're right, man.
I don't know what they would do, because all those bowls, I mean, they wait until the next day, and then they start selling tickets and you know, to the teams.
Yeah.
Now you're going to wait. So then you have a much smaller window, because you already have a small window. You have a much smaller window to get all that stuff done.
You know, what they may end up doing is they select all the other bowls except for one, and they're kind of just waiting for the outcome of the Army-Navy game.
So if Navy loses, you have another bowl ready for them?
Oh, that's the problem. You're right, because...
So then you don't pick two bowls, but then who do you put in that bowl?
Yeah, because... Yeah. You're absolutely right. They would have to stop everything.
Stop the presses, and they really could do it.
Because you really couldn't select any bowls.
Nope.
Because, like, let's say, yeah, because there'd be a team that wouldn't get into that Big Six bowl that Navy would take their spot. Well, they would have to go into another bowl, and that would kick somebody else out of their bowl, and then it just goes on down the line.
Yep.
Until it goes to the very bottom where the 6-6 teams are. So, yeah, you would have to hold up everything. I mean, because usually Navy ends up in one of those
Commander
in
Chief's
bowls,
bowl,
but,
or,
yeah, the Commander Chief, or you know, one of those ones that it's got a military sounding name to it. They always end up in that one, but in a season where they're, you know, one loss and they may be in the top 15 or top 10 at the end of the season, depending on what happens everywhere else. Yeah, you're right. That could cause a problem.
So you look at their schedule, they've got SMU, Tulsa, Houston, Army. The only one there that really should be in question would be Houston, and I still think you can beat Houston. I think that they honestly could go through the entire season with the one loss to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And yeah, more power
to them. And you're not going to want them in the, you know, the Military Bowl or whatever it is, the Independence Bowl, the bowls that, you know, those teams typically get folded into. You don't want them in that bowl. You want them in a good bowl that against a good team.
Right.
Because they've earned it.
Yeah. And honestly, you hate it, but if in 2 or 3 years from now we have an 18 playoff and Navy got left out this year, because they're not going to make it in a 14 playoff, but you really hate it for them, because in an 18 playoff, if you seed Navy in there, because Navy's in the American, you would have, I would think, a slot potentially for the American winner. That would be a lot of fun to have Navy in the playoff.
Yeah, what you may have to do if you're Navy, especially if it happens this year, is you may have to be like, hey, we need to move the Army-Navy game up a week.
Yeah. Yeah. I would assume all of college football would ask for that.
Yeah. Because it's like everybody's done except for you guys, and if you guys want to be in the playoff, like, we can't wait until you're done, because people have to make travel arrangements. People got to buy tickets, like hotel rooms. Like, you know, there's a lot at stake, and we're waiting a full week for one game.
Yeah.
And that's not fair to the rest of college football. Like, you need to move that game up a week if you want to be in the conversation for a playoff spot.
Yep, I agree with you, Will.
Interesting.
It'll be something to interesting. Watch. That's for sure.
Yeah. But as far as the rankings in general go, I mean, I'm okay with them. Like, when they were about to – I turned on ESPN right when they were about to do the announcement at 7 o'clock this evening. And I was like my guess was Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame. And I was like, that's what it's going to be. And then that's what popped up. So, I mean, I'm not – it. You know, some people might be disappointed by this. It looks fine to me. And I think that – if everything holds serve, I think these four teams, like if all four of these teams went out, I think they all four of those teams deserve to be in the playoff. Maybe, you know, whether they be in that order, I don't know. I'm sure they would shuffle some around just to avoid rematches. Because, I mean, then you'd have Alabama, Ohio State, which happened last year in the Sugar Bowl. And then you would have Clemson, Notre Dame, which has already been played this year. You know, maybe they would switch things up a little bit to create some different matchups. I don't know. I don't know if you'd want to try that or not, but I don't know.
It's a mystery, Will, but I will say, I think a lot of people, if we do see Ohio State, Alabama again, there's going to be a lot of people who are like, I might skip this. You know, you don't want to see the same four teams in every year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of time. I mean, what if Florida comes back and figures out how to not throw an interception and they beat Bama? What's going to happen there? You know, or what if Stanford beats Notre Dame? Or what if Iowa beats Ohio State? Or what if UNC beats Clemson? You know, there's so many crazy things that can happen, and they always do. So, I mean, go back and look at the 2014 Week 11, who is in the top four? Okay, check this out. Number one was Mississippi State. They were out.
Oh,
they
yes.
Ended up getting knocked
That's
out.
Right.
Then you had Florida State. They were still in it. Then you had Auburn, but they got knocked out. And then you had Oregon, and they ended up being in it. So, and this one, in Week 11 last year, you had two of the four teams make it. Make it on, and then And then you have to go all the way down to 14 to see Ohio State.
Huh.
So Ohio State made a pretty big jump from week 11 to the end of the season. So you look at now, like, the teams that are, you know, down there in the mid-teens, you're talking teams like Michigan State, TCU, I don't think a two-loss team would get in. But then you had Florida and Oklahoma, and then you go down a little bit farther, you have UNC with the one loss. And I would venture to argue that last year Ohio State's loss to Virginia Tech was about the same quality of loss as UNC's loss to South Carolina, because Virginia Tech wasn't all that good last year. So, I mean, I think you could even make a case for North Carolina if North Carolina wins out and beats a number one ranked Clemson. So there's a lot that can happen between now and the end of the season.
Right. Stranger things have happened.
Absolutely stranger things have happened. Okay, let's move on, Andrew, and actually start talking about the games that are this weekend. And there's a last week was a bunch of really big matchups. This week doesn't have quite as many, I guess, the really, really attractive games that, you know, lots of attention. But there's still some good ones, of course. And let's run through them real quick and give our picks. First one, Thursday night, we'll be there. Virginia Tech at Georgia Tech. This is the 25th anniversary. They're celebrating the 25th anniversary of the 1990 Georgia Tech National Championship team. Odd thing about this game for me, Andrew, Georgia Tech is favored by 5 points in this one, which just strikes me as just really, really odd. What do you think? Do you believe in Las Vegas here?
No, being favored hasn't really helped Georgia Tech thus far.
No, it hasn't, because we've lost every game that we've been favored in, you know, after Tulane, and the one game that we won, we were not favored to win. So go figure.
Yeah, why do they keep favoring Georgia Tech?
I don't want them to.
Oh, it's a home game. They play well at home.
They have played a lot better at home. That's very, very true.
Yeah. Gee, Will, I don't know. I'm not sure what you make of this, but we've seen Bud Foster at work before. I would say it's going to be a low-scoring game. He kind of knows how to confuse the players on the line. You're going to see a lot of that. I mean, Justin Thomas throughout the season has had several games where being confused at the line of scrimmage has cause problems, and there's been bad plays, and you've seen a lot of negative plays that started with him being confused at the line of scrimmage, and Bud Foster was kind of the originator of that. So I don't know what that means per se, but I do think it will be a low scoring game.
Yeah, and I think that the bye week is something that Georgia Tech sorely needed in this one. And so I think that it's going to be just enough for the Jackets to win, just barely. I think the extra rest, I think that's going to give them the edge. I'm going to say this. I agree with you. Low scoring game, close game, but Georgia Tech plays well at home, and I'm going to say that they win.
Wow. Okay. Well, unfortunately, I did say several weeks ago that I couldn't pick Georgia Tech. I'm going to have to pick Virginia Tech because every week it seems like the same thing happens. I don't know. They just haven't shown us a lot, Will. You're 3-6. You haven't been able to beat teams you should beat. Playing Virginia last week, it was a game you should have won, and you just were flat the entire game. I hate to say it, even though it's a home game, we haven't played up to ability, and we lost another couple players. I know that Adam Gotsis is not going to be playing. And I believe Michael Summers, the wide receiver, has left the team. So we're just running out of players. There aren't going to be enough bodies. You might need to get some of the guys in the marching band to suit up.
Yeah, you might have to ask some of those guys. But, you know, we've you know, this is kind of a different strategy for us. We've had the same pick, I believe, every single week in regards to who Georgia Tech plays. So now that we're splitting our vote, maybe that'll change things a little bit. If you're superstitious, then maybe that'll change things a little bit.
That, you know what that means then? That we both will have to always pick different teams from now on.
Yeah.
That would be
well,
the,
if this yeah. works, yeah. If it,
yeah,
if
well,
this
yeah,
works.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's. That's Thursday night. Let's go to Saturday. First game, Pittsburgh at Duke. This game has lost a lot of luster since UNC blew through both of these teams, but it's still important because if anything happens to North Carolina, like if they crumble, then the winner of this game would have the inside track of, you know, picking up the pieces and going to the ACC championship game. This is really a play for second best in the Coastal. What do you think about this one? Duke, obviously, two really, really rough losses. Pittsburgh, close game against UNC, and then kind of kept it close against Notre Dame. Some late points in that one to make it closer than it probably was. Mm-hmm. But what do you think about this one?
Well, I know how much you like the Duke Blue Devils and what David Cutcliffe has done over there. It's a home game for Duke, but it seems like the last couple of years, Duke has kind of withered there at the end.
Yes, they have.
And they did it last year.
Out of their, yes. The wind is out of their sails right now.
Right. I really think that the safe pick here is to pick the Pitt Panthers. I think that Pat Narduzzi really should get a look for ACC Coach of the Year. I think probably that Dabo Swinney will win it. But I think that Pat Narduzzi should get a look because of what he's done. Pitt had been kind of in that same rut for the last couple years. They were 7-6, 6-7. They did that several years in a row. And he got them to kind of get over the hump, and they won some big games. I mean, their season's not over for sure. I really think home game for Duke isn't going to mean a lot. Pitt's going to come in, win a low-scoring defensive game.
I totally agree with you.
Really?
Okay,
you're not going to pick Duke? I was pretty sure.
No. I just said the wind's out of their sails.
And I
see the same thing that happened last year.
Yeah.
Crumble at the end.
Okay.
Crumble at the end.
Okay.
Okay, next game, NC State at FSU.
Now, Will, I know how much of a fan you are of NC State and the Wolfpack and what they were doing this year. I think that they can't win the Atlantic. I think they've been eliminated. So where do you...
Well,
every
team has been eliminated.
Yes. Well, not Clemson.
Not Clemson.
So I don't know. What do you think, Will? This was not supposed to be what happened this year for NC State.
No, they were supposed to, if you listen to those early episodes this season, they were supposed to go all the way. We were talking about them, you know, in the playoff picture, you know, lunacy, I know. But, no, FSU is going to win this game.
Yeah, it's not going to be terribly close, I don't think. FSU has played a ton better at home. We talked about home a little bit ago. The home games for FSU, they're scoring a lot more points. They're playing a lot better on offense. It's not going to change here. It's an early game, but it is homecoming. So I think that's going to play into it. I think FSU wins it. I think it's going to be one of these 38-10 type games.
Yeah, I could see that. Okay, next one we have. This is kind of a tough one. Virginia at Louisville. Now, Virginia had a big win last week against Tech. And Louisville started the season off pretty crappy, but have righted the ship a little bit the last few weeks. They've won three straight games.
They barely beat Wake. Remember that?
They did, and they barely beat Wake Boston College too.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go with Virginia on this one.
I am not. I think that Louisville's going to win, Will.
Okay.
They need win to get bowl eligible. They win this one. That means they go at least 500 regular season, and that puts them above 500 in the ACC. So I think they win this one. I think it could be close. They've had some close games, but But I really think that they're going to kind of come together and win the game.
Well, you talk about, you know, the team needing to win to be bowl eligible. Virginia's in the same boat because they're 3-6. They've got to win out to be bowl eligible.
That's true. That's true. Well, I will say this. I think that Louisville has some depth problems because they were even able to play Florida State for a half. And they played them tight. Mm-hmm. But as the game wore on, Florida State just kind of ran out of the stadium. But I think that that Virginia is not going to have that luxury. I think that Louisville is going to squeak out of there with a win. It's a home game.
Yeah, and I understand what you're saying. And I think that if you look at the schedules, I think that Virginia has played a much, much tougher schedule than Louisville has up to this point in the season. And I think that if you flip-flop the two teams and their schedules, I think that you'd probably have the same record on both sides. I would guess. I'm looking at the teams that that Virginia lost to, and that's UCLA, Notre Dame, Boise State, Pittsburgh, UNC, Miami, and I'm not seeing a whole lot of extra wins for Louisville if they had that same schedule. So I think this is going to be a close game, and I think that Virginia is going to use the little bit of momentum that they had from their win against Georgia Tech and their close loss to Miami. Played them a lot closer than a lot of people may have thought, and I'm going to say that they play Louisville and they beat them in a close one.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
Okay, next game, Miami at North Carolina.
Here's the problem I have, Will. This has happened several times where UNC and Miami game, one of the two teams, Miami or UNC, was having a really good year and got to that game, and the team that wasn't supposed to win won. So that's my holdup here, that this is the kind of game that UNC would lose. Do you not agree with that? That if historically, this is the game on the schedule.
Historically, yes, I agree with you. Here's the thing, though. UNC is playing some of the best football, especially on offense, of any college football team in the country, and I think you can make a very strong argument for that. Also, their defense has played very, very well all year long. There's only been two games where they've given up more than 19 points, and there's not a lot of college football teams that can say that. Also, this game is at home for North Carolina. In previous years, maybe that doesn't make that much of a difference, but they are selling out their stadium this year. They sold out their stadium when they played Duke, albeit that was more of a rivalry game. But given how UNC's team is doing this late in the season, I imagine that they're going to have a near sellout again against Miami. Crowd is going to be in this game the entire game. UNC has the players, the offense, and the coaching staff to pull it off. I think UNC wins another big game, blowing out Miami, just like they blew out, in a very similar way that they blew out Duke.
I don't know that I go that far, but I do agree. I think UNC, this is not the year that they falter late. I think that UNC, like you said, has a great coaching staff. Gene Chizik should be applauded for the job he's done with the defense.
And it might be the only year that they have him. I think he might be gone next year.
Yeah, I agree. I think that there's a strong possibility. And I think that you're right. It's going to be a little closer than you think, but I do think UNC is going to win this game. 9-1 will be their record at that point.
All right. Next one, we have... Okay, next two are probably going to be pretty easy. Wake Forest and Notre Dame. Notre Dame has looked good all season long. They're number four. Wake Forest hasn't really shown me anything. I'm just going to go ahead and check mark that one for Notre Dame.
Dame.
All right. Okay. All right. Next one is Clemson at Syracuse. And same thing here. Clemson's number one in the country for a reason. And I'm going to put them as the winners over Syracuse, even though it's in the Carrier Dome, even though in Syracuse has caused problems for teams in the past, but I don't think it's going to happen this week. Okay, let's move on to the SEC. First game on the list, Georgia at Auburn. You know, most seasons, or a lot of seasons, we get to this game in the schedule, and it has big implications for both teams. Not so this year. Both teams are out of it for their respective sides of the championship game. Both of them were having underwhelming seasons versus expectations. That said, in the more recent history for these two teams, they have played a little better than what they had, I guess, in previous games, meaning Auburn beat Texas A&M, a ranked team, and then Georgia beat Kentucky 27-3. But besides that, their seasons have been very similar.
Right.
What do you think about this one?
You know, that's a good analysis, Will. We've had a couple of teams that at the beginning, people forget. At the beginning of the year, there were several pundits who said that Auburn was the team from the SEC that was going to be in the playoff.
Right.
Isn't that insane? Look where they are now. And then that first week, Louisville and Auburn played. That was a hotly contested game, and Louisville, they played them close. It showed how good Louisville was by hanging with the tough Auburn team. Well, we didn't really know. That's why those preseason polls are crazy and unneeded. But you're right. Auburn, I think, is not a very good team. Georgia is not a very good team. Auburn, however, is at home. And I think that being it's a home game, I don't think that the last couple weeks, you know, Auburn maybe has won a couple games or whatever, but I think it's just the level of competition. So I think that Auburn will win.
And I think that Auburn at least has someone who can somewhat competently play quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Johnson hasn't looked good all season, but he's kind of gotten it together a little bit more recently. Whereas Georgia has nobody who can play quarterback. It's just a black hole. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's a home game for Auburn. It's a rivalry game. I think that Auburn does win this one.
Right.
But it's not going to be pretty.
And it's interesting, Will. Gene Chizik used to be the head coach at Auburn, and they fired him because he had a bad year. And everybody said, well, if Malzahn had been here, Malzahn was really the brains behind the whole thing. And and Gene Chizik had tried to move away from the hurry up, no huddle because he felt like it was not sustainable. He said that he felt that the way the offense was run, it needed to be a little bit more multiple. It just wasn't a sustainable thing. People, the players that run it, for whatever reason, it just isn't going to be something that the defense is going to kind of, I don't know, catch up to the gimmick. I don't know, but he felt like they needed to change the offense. So he did, and then he was fired. So they brought Malzahn back, thinking all this is going to be changed. He was the real brains behind the whole thing. Chizik was just an idiot. Since then, the first year of Malzahn, yeah, they did very well. They still had a semblance of a defense, but no more Chizik. And look how terrible their defense is now. And look at how the offense really isn't playing that well. So maybe Chizik was onto something. I'm not saying at all that Malzahn isn't going to turn around. I think that he will, but I do also think that Malzahn kind of rode the coattails and that probably Chizik was not given a fair shake. I think that the resources at Auburn are going to give you the ability to be somewhat successful. I think that Malzahn will turn it around, but I just find it, you know, it's so easy to get rid of a coach after one bad season. And that isn't always going to be the answer.
Right. Absolutely.
Because they're not going to fire Malzahn after this year. You know, one bad year. You're not going to fire him again. So maybe they've learned their lesson. I hope.
One can hope.
Yeah.
Okay, next game. Florida at South Carolina. Oh, man. If Florida plays as bad as they did against Vandy.
I know.
Could be a good game. But I just don't see it happening. I'm going to pick Florida.
Well, you know, well, Florida is kind of like the Auburn of the 2015 season. They keep kind of getting lucky. Look at the game against Tennessee. They had no business winning that game. They were way behind, and they kind of came back. Yeah. This game against Vandy, they really, if Vandy punts the ball at the end there and actually makes a punt,
yeah, they lose.
They
the
probably
game.
Lose the game. So maybe they are due for a loss. It's a home game for Carolina, Will. Steve Spurrier, he wants nothing more than for this game to end in a tie. I think that South Carolina has a really, really strong chance to win this game. Florida's already clinched, I think.
Are you picking them?
I'm actually going to pick Florida, but I really think that South Carolina could win this game. It's going to be close.
Yeah, it'll be a fun one to watch, I think. That's for sure. Okay, next one should be a no contest here. North Texas at Tennessee. Tennessee's surely good enough to walk away with that one. Next one, we have Bama and Mississippi State. Mississippi State's sitting there at 17, but I just don't understand how Bama can lose this one. They completely owned LSU. I think Bama's the real deal again, like they usually are. I think that they beat Mississippi State. Do you?
I do. I do think Bama wins this one. They had a big emotional victory last week. They're going to win this game.
Yeah. Next one we have Kentucky at Vanderbilt. Man, this is a tough one too. Both these teams played horrible last week. It's kind of hard to argue which team played worse. I guess you would have to say Kentucky played worse because Vandy was at least in that game, but Vandy didn't have a quarterback. I mean, it's so bad for at quarterback for Vandy. Man.
Yeah, this is a tough one, but I'm going to pick the Kentucky Wildcats to win the game. I think Vandy can't put any yards on the – they can't run the ball. They can't throw the ball. They have one play against Florida the entire game.
Yeah, but they can force a couple of turnovers and change that up pretty quick. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say Vandy finds a way to get it done. Okay, wow. Then we have Western Carolina at Texas A&M. I'm going to pick the Aggies.
Yeah.
Then we have Arkansas at LSU. Even, man, you know, Arkansas, their offense turned it on last week against, you know, an Ole Miss team that I don't think is that bad. LSU, pretty degrading loss, but this game is at home, and they're not out of it yet. Bama hasn't clinched yet. If Bama ends up losing another SEC game and LSU wins out, LSU takes it. So they still have plenty to play for.
Yeah, you're right.
And if they win out and enough stuff happens, you can get two SEC teams in the playoff. No one's saying that can't happen.
Well, that's true. You know, as we all know, Brett Bielema, he's good for instigating a couple penalties during the game. We know that. He's going to call some crazy plays and somehow find a way to lose the game. LSU at home beats Arkansas, and the Razorbacks are going to be starting to wonder, why are we paying this guy so much?
I agree. And the last game, and really, arguably, Andrew, this is probably the easiest pick of the entire week.
Huh.
BYU, I don't know what that noise was. BYU at Missouri. There is no way Missouri can win this game.
You know, but look, the whole student body, they're going to, you know, kind of come together as one. I mean, all problems have been solved. The whole world is happy now. This is one where these players, they stood up for what they believed in. Now they're going to come out onto the field
and get absolutely manhandled by a bunch of grown men on BYU's football team. Not just regular football players. A lot of these guys are in like their mid-20s, late-20s. And you can't fall asleep on a team like BYU. You can't go into that game distracted. BYU is going to bowl over them.
Yeah, it's not going to be close.
I mean, Missouri has no offense whatsoever and a mediocre defense at best. BYU is going to trounce them. BYU's having a little bit of an off year, but they're going to trounce. I mean, they had those big, you know, Hail Mary games at the beginning of the season. But, yeah, it's going to be a good old-fashioned shellacking.
Shellacking. Yeah, it's not going to be close.
Yeah. Well,
the
Andrew, that's the show.
Will have lots to talk about, though, Will.
Oh, they'll have plenty to talk about. Plenty to talk about. But they got to be careful, though. You don't want to offend anybody.
Ooh,
you know?
Yes.
I may have offended somebody by saying that. But
yep.
You got to be careful. We'll put a warning, you know, on the description of the show so we make sure that we're, you know, not offending anybody. But
yeah, one of those parent label things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like explicit content, you know.
Yes.
Something like that. Well, Andrew, that's the show. By the way, you are Andrew, and I am Will. And this is the 4th and Short Podcast at 4thandshort.com. You can email us at 4thandshortpodcast@gmail.com, and you can find us on Facebook simply by searching for 4th and Short Podcast. It's been a great show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have fun watching college football this weekend, and talk to you later.